One, two, get down. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. I paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me. You know what to see. Look at me, know what you see? See a bad mother. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me, know what you see?
On a world hurtling towards damnation amidst the fear and despair of a broken human race, who's left to fight for what's good and pure? Handkerchief Dynasty, I am, as always, your secret professor, joined by my good friend and expert in the Sriracha prophecies, the High Priest of Euler's Magic. How are you, High Priest?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Pretty good. You still coughing here and there? Is the cough still with you?
Yeah, like, I think like... yeah, like my health moving forward. my health's taken like a serious, I've lost a lot of hit points.
Do you have any like potions or anything?
No, Phoenix Down. When I was at the store, I saw the Phoenix Down. I was like, I don't know what this is. Feathers? Put it back on the shelf. And I got like some armor or something instead. But
oh, in brutal.
In retrospect, I should have definitely got the Phoenix Down.
Yeah, what's that armor going to do for you now?
Some tinctures. Yeah. You know, just have to hope that in modern science gets me some Phoenix Down stat.
It's a really handy one. It makes a big difference.
Huge. You need
extra life.
You need as much of it as you can get.
Yeah, especially nowadays, because like the whole priestly caste is like down with various ailments around you too, right? Like you've got how many people in the rectory right now are like coughing up a lung?
Yeah, it's like the olden times when it also housed the extremely ill, right?
Right.
That's the vibe here.
You've gone back to like the 6th century.
Yeah. It's a throwback.
Man. Yeah. Back when the main treatment for illness was just like, well, just get them some fresh air, just put some more windows in there. Windows.
Take them to church and open up all the windows, and that's what it's like over here right now.
They literally thought the main cause of illness was bad air.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't hurt. I mean, good air doesn't hurt.
No, it's true, but if you're wallowing in human shit and piss 24/7 and you don't understand the concept of like bacteria or microbes.
Well, they didn't know.
You got to blame it on something, I guess. You're like, "Oh, well, there's bad air around this piss and shit. It's the air gets infected."
Well, it kind of is. I mean, they didn't know. Like, you can't blame the olden days people for not knowing about bacteria. Like, they were trying their best.
It's kind of like with like NHL referees. It's like there's certain things they just don't know yet. They have because they haven't been taught. You know, like, because the knowledge has not been created.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when it comes to NHL officials, like, it's they sort of exist. Their life is sort of like they're like the people on a planet, and we're like the space aliens, like they're overlords,
right?
And it's much easy. It's like much easier for us to be like, can't you see the way forward? And they're like, no, like. We're not ready for that yet. Like, you don't know, like, we're not able to experience life like you can, looking down at us like that. So they're just not there. They're just not ready.
Yeah, I know.
And they might not ever be ready.
I know. I like, mean, like,
do you think do you think there's ever been a time though in any pro sport where fans were like, you know, what's great about this sport and fair? And one thing I love the most about it is the officials.
It's so true.
Yeah.
What did you think of the? I was kind of shocked that they called that penalty on Edmondson. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, wait a second, hold on. It's like living in a bad neighborhood, calling the cops and having them actually show up. It's like, wait a second, This guy was like punching my neighbor in the head with a piece of
like
wood.
Somebody shouts out, like, the cops are here.
You're like, what?
Oh, we called the cops. They actually came. You're the cops who called? That's what it was like.
What's going on, sir? Just explain the situation, please. It's like takes like 15 minutes for the residents just to like get over the fact that the cops actually, you know, showed up to help them.
I didn't think that deserved to be 5 minutes in a game. Like, can you remember the last time you were watching an Oilers game and anybody got like 5 minutes?
This is the thing. It was unprecedented, but just because it was unprecedented doesn't mean it wasn't right. Because as far as I'm concerned, hitting a guy in the head with your stick into the boards so that his head does a pinball between your stick and the boards.
Yeah.
Is a really good way. Like, he's like, Hyman didn't skate today. He could be in concussion protocol for all we know.
Oh, really?
Like, who knows? He didn't skate today. So, and I think it also helped that Hyman is Hyman. I think the fact that he was like clearly fucked up on the play, he was cut super bad.
Yeah.
And he was clearly fucked up, and he's not a guy that's going to like lie on the ice. He's a guy who's going to be in the corner battling like three to four motherfuckers on a regular day-to-day basis and like probably never complaining.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like pitching to them about like children's books ideas, you know?
I guess it just didn't look like malicious to me. It didn't look like it was delivered with intent.
It looked malicious to me.
I don't know. It looked like Hyman was sort of going into the boards and kind of like getting low to swoop in and take the puck. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I was surprised it was five in a game, primarily because like you never really see that for like a high sticking call.
Totally. Yeah.
It was a strange call. I mean,
it was a hit to the head though. Like the head was involved,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Primary point of contact.
It was a by the books call, but it was also like an odd call. I guess
it was odd because like, you're like, wait, they actually, I mean, some people didn't think it was five in a game. I mean, I've heard other people say that besides you, but I think a big part of that was that the refs are just never really doing their jobs in terms of like a really dangerous play where a player got hit to the head. They're on the ground. They're potentially, you know, could be a career ending injury under the wrong circumstances where someone, even if it wasn't intentional, you're supposed to know where your stick is.
Yeah.
Responsible for what happens with your stick. You can't just say, oh, oopsie.
Yeah.
Edmondson's made some dirty plays too. It's shocking because apparently there's been reports about like the Oilers being interested in him. It's like, why? Why do we want that guy?
The Oilers love getting guys that hurt other Oilers. It's like one of our quirks.
Yeah.
It's one of our things.
It's like being like, poly and like wanting really, and like wanting your partner's exes to like join the house. You know, you're like, so no, we got a good thing going on. You need Miranda, babe. But like, what if you got, you know, Trevor, your ex of 10 years? Why don't we bring him in here? It's like, what are you doing? Why are you stirring the pot?
Yeah, I don't know why they was. It's really like gross.
I think, but honestly, I'd much rather see them put that money on a big forward. Big in the sense of like costs probably something and is like I would love to see Bo Horvat acquired and then just damn the Torpedoes.
Like more offense?
Well, I think what we forget is the Oilers were really struggling before we got Hyman, and even Fogle was a smaller part of it to start that year. There was like a level, right? We got Hyman and that got us to a certain point, that over a certain hump, and then Kane got us over another hump.
Yeah.
And we all kind of just assumed we'd have Hyman and Kane this whole year, so we'd be over the same two humps, but we're now back on the other hump. We need another forward to get us back over that hump, and then if Kane comes back, which he's already skating, which is nice to see.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He'll definitely be back. Then we're one more hump up in the hump rotation. We're three humps in at that point if we acquire another big forward, which I think is like, I mean, yeah, you want to shore up the defense if you can a little bit, but shoring up defense, like, people just talk up to as though defensemen get traded in the NHL still. It's so fucking rare. Like, Jacob Chychrun asked for a trade like, what, 12 years ago? And he's been like a daily topic of conversation for like about 75,000 to 150,000 people. Meanwhile, like, you know, it just goes to show how scarce they are.
Yeah, they're scarce, precious.
People love the like proposed trades for D. They're like, okay, we trade Bouchard and PRV for like Carlson and plus plus. And it's like, Well, yeah, I mean, like, it'll never happen. But
for Carlson,
yeah, his name is being bandied about again because he has he's having a really strong start of the year. He's like top 10 in scoring, I think. Last I checked,
Erik Karlsson's the top 10 of all players in scoring.
He's in the top 10. Let's check. At least he was
of all players.
All players, yeah. He's had a resurgence because the theory is playing on the same team with Brent Burns was holding him back. Yeah, Erik Karlsson's actually eighth in scoring right now. He's in 28 games. He's got 34 points. He's over a point a game. For the San Jose Sharks. I know, isn't that crazy? Because the whole world just forgot he existed. The entire world completely forgot Erik Karlsson existed.
I'd completely written him off.
Yeah, well, everyone has.
I was like, I thought it was really strange. Like, he was really good, and then he just completely sucked. And then I was just like,
it was
weird,
wasn't it? It was injuries.
I guess it's the way it happens.
Yeah.
But I was never really comfortable with saying that. Like, it felt wrong
to be
writing him off that quickly.
Because he was such a dynamic talent back in those days. Yeah, it was just like he was one of the marquee NHL players who were like, oh, Erik Karlsson's playing in this game? Sweet. I'm going to see some shit tonight, boy. Wow.
He was a marquee player. Yeah, totally.
He was like the Cale Makar of his day. People and then like this guy
vanished. Yeah,
well, I mean, it probably happens to a certain percentage of people when they just move to San Jose. I bet it's like a San Jose effect, you know. They call it the no way Jose syndrome is what it's known in medical circles as. It's like just as an area specific malaise unique to San Jose. Although let's be honest, like California is probably great just in general.
I've been
to San Jose.
Yeah, Northern California. I can see
Northern California.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense.
How north is it though? Because I've been to like Oakland. That's not even that far north, right?
No, Oakland's like San Francisco. So Northern California is like, like San Jose,
and then Sacramento. Like,
yeah, I think Sacramento. Sacramento's Northern California.
Yeah,
there's probably some great place names in like Northern California that sound very like Northern California. Like, where's Humboldt County? Is that Northern California?
Humboldt County is a county in California. Yeah,
yeah,
it's close to Redding.
Redding. That sounds.
That's
like
going to be on the That's actually on the geography midterm. Yeah, that's very north. Very, very north.
Yeah. Yeah. Redding. Can you imagine living in Redding, California? You'd be really lazy, that's for sure. You'd be suffering from extreme
People do make fun of Bakersfield a lot. I've heard a lot of jokes about Bakersfield being kind of like pretty meh. Although if you're I feel bad for the AHL players, so I kind of try and suppress that, you know, like I'm Stalin trying to suppress Trotsky. I'm like, oh, I'm sure Bakersfield's fine, everybody. Don't pay any attention to what that stand-up comedian said about that show in Bakersfield he had. Where the water was brown. I've heard the water is not the best.
Yeah, Bakersfield is like, not only is it like a punchline to that joke, it's like one of the most extreme versions of that joke. Like, if the joke you're telling has the punchline Bakersfield, you're really kind of like, you're really saying something about, like, you're making that joke to the nth degree, right? It's like a brown water joke. Like the brown water routine.
If it's brown, drink it down.
Yeah, that's Bakersfield. You must be from Bakersfield, California. New Jersey, they stink. It stinks in New Jersey. Bakersfield is more this, the water is brown.
Well, I mean, it is the state. The entire state is a desert. They have to pipe their water in from like God knows where.
Yeah,
yeah. California dreaming. California, though, like in some ways, is America. Kind of doesn't get that rap. It's kind of considered to be like America 2, you know, the sequel to America.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And in some ways, it is. But sometimes the sequel can actually supersede. You know, sometimes the learner becomes the master, and like the second film in a series is just like, well, like Godfather 2 has that effect most obviously.
True. Yeah.
We're like, yeah. So we haven't been on in a while. I mean, the last three games, we're looking at Chicago, which was, you know, kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
Kind of a little wild. Some people complained, oh, it should have been easier, but it's like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
And then the Minnesota one. go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, keep going.
It's in the Minnesota game, like I said before, I feel like it's like that chapter in Gulliver's Travels where they erase his memory, and it's like, not only like I forget about the Minnesota game, but I forget about everything kind of surrounding it. It's like an episode of the Twilight Zone. You're like, you're on like a bus headed to like Minnesota for a hockey game, and you're like, people just ask you, they're like, where are you off to? And you're like, oh, I'm going on a hockey tournament in Minnesota. And they're like, oh, you know, I've never heard of Minnesota. Is there such a place? Which was kind of like, I don't know what it is with Minnesota having the Oilers number for so long.
Well, the Oilers
like,
were gassed. They had just played Chicago.
And it was third and four nights. Yeah.
Can you imagine having to like play, do anything in Chicago? Like if we were in Chicago.
Eating like a slice of pizza in Chicago and then trying to do anything is difficult.
You got to go to Chicago. You're going to have to stay there for like 5 hours and run around. And then as soon as you're done, I want you to drive to Minnesota, or you can take a plane. I don't care.
Sure.
And then when you get to Minnesota, I want you also to run around for 5 hours, and you have to be at least as fast as you were in Chicago. You'd be so tired. You'd be like, forget it. Like I've been on a plane all day, like in the airport. I barely slept. I was really tired from running around last night. Like those games, like I wonder how many of those games Minnesota gets, because they're kind of in like this really dumb location where like I bet you they get a lot of back-to-backs. We're sort of like that too. We always get Calgary as well. They get a lot of like back-to-back scenarios, right? Like teams come here and they play Edmonton, and then the next night they play Calgary. But I didn't think the Oilers were going to beat Minnesota for that reason. It was just like way, way too tired. Like, no. It's crazy.
They need to eliminate the third game in four nights. I'd love to see the stat for that.
For sure.
Like,
seems like
a shorter season. Or like less preseason games.
A little much to put a human being through, quite frankly.
Well, there were a bunch of people that still complained about their effort that night, which I thought was funny. And when you put it the way you put it, I think, you know, 100% of the people who complained about the Oilers being lackluster against Minnesota would totally be able to like do the two plane trips, the two games, the running around. What they don't realize is it's not like being on a plane and you're sitting down on a plane. That's rest, right? That's rest. It's like, no, the whole thing is fucking vibrating and like shaking your entire body to the molecular level, bro. Like it's not that rest.
Yeah. Like have these people not been on a plane before or like done anything involving an airport, like done anything involving getting on a plane and like off a plane and traveling on a plane? Like, it's not like you're sleeping. It's not like you just fall asleep. Like you step on this thing and fall asleep immediately. And then you wake up and you're like, you know, in a hotel room, also sleeping. Like there's like getting on and off the plane, falling asleep on a plane. Like it's a whole ordeal. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way that any of those people who are complaining about that, saying like it shouldn't be a problem, could do like anything. Like could even like go out for supper. I'd say 75% of people, if they were challenged to going out for supper in Chicago and then the next night going out for supper in Minnesota, like 75% of people would bail on going out for supper in Minnesota because they were just too tired. They'd be like, no, I can't do it.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm way too tired. I can't do it. I'm just going to order an appy and get out of here.
Yeah.
Which is like what the Oilers did. It's like, well, yeah, fine. The Oilers just ordered like some shrimp rolls and then, like, got up and left.
Yeah. Wrapped a couple in a napkin or two, you know, pocket it, suit pocket.
Can I have a Diet Coke? Just give me a Diet. I think I'm just going to have a Diet Coke. And
just
go
fall asleep on the couch in your suit, face first.
And then, falling asleep at the table, even. Probably I'm falling asleep at the table. One of those moves.
People just taking pictures of you. It's like, look at him. He's so tired. And then, you know, they got their rest, thank goodness. And we got a marquee game against Montreal. And we've actually had a few of these games so far this year. I would call them the great fucking game, where it kind of has like this, you have this kind of high afterwards. We've had a few already, big comebacks, more than a few comebacks lately as well. But like this game against Montreal, especially with like the way we took over with that penalty, like that second period was so strange. Like it just, the entire, we were on the power play the entire time. I think there were five on threes between the two teams. We had three, they had two.
Yeah.
Each team scored on two of their five on threes. I think Connor McDavid had two shots and scored on both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. It was super fun. I love when the Oilers are involved in games like that, but I also really loved when the Habs are involved in games like that. It really
Totally.
sits very well with me.
And they've got an exciting team, fun team to watch right now.
Well, when the Habs are playing that brand of hockey, it's very exciting and like gratifying to see that, because that's like what you're raised on. Like Habs magic, don't kid yourself, folks.
Very strong.
There's Oilers magic and there's also Habs magic. Habs magic is very, very powerful magic. And when you're able to see that magic like taking place, that's a very special thing. I was all for it. But yeah, of course. And then the Oilers come back and they beat Montreal after having some chicken wings and a Diet Pepsi against Minnesota. So yeah, I've heard too that there's a lot of people that are like, I don't know, they think the Oilers should be having a better regular season than they're having. I'm pretty disconnected from like Oilers fandom right now. But every once in a while, I'll encounter something and it's like, it seems a little outrageous. Like, you know,
people expected us to be on par with what we were to end last year, and we're not quite there. We're not obviously not there yet,
which is
disappointing
for
them. And I think in their lack of emotional capacity to handle the disappointment of that, they can just get angry and blame the team for not being as good as they want it to be.
Even though
Kane is out, and our bottom six is not doing great, but I mean, they could also turn it around, a lot of them, I think.
Kane being out, that's a massive injury, right?
He's massive.
Probably the third best player on the team, maybe fourth. I might put Hyman ahead of Kane, I think, actually. But if not third, then fourth. You know what I mean? Like he's
seventh in points, and
he's dynamic.
He's been out for half the year.
Almost. Yeah. So that's a huge injury. So, you know, when a team loses a marquee player like that, there's going to be bumps, right? They're not just going to like keep doing what they were doing when that player was there, because that player is gone now. So to even sort of stay, like they're winning more games than they're losing right now. So that's pretty much all you want to do, right? Like you kind of have to batten down the hatches until the team gets healthy again and then take it from there. But it's a major, major loss. And there's a lot of teams, like the parity in the league this year, to me, and I haven't followed it as much as, like, I'm still following hockey, but there's a lot going on over here. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
totally.
Not like, but the league seems to be like there's some teams that just like really, really stink.
The bottom is falling out for a bunch of teams.
Ottawa Senators, right? Like they're just really, really bad. And then there's some like freakish teams that are doing well, but nobody really thought they were going to do as well as they're doing. And the wheels could fall off, but they haven't yet. So there's teams with really good records. And then there's like a glut of teams, it feels like, that are like 500 or just above 500. I'm not saying just below 500, but like just above 500, like winning hockey teams, right? There's like a lot of teams like that this year to my eye. The league seems to, there's great parity in the league. So I don't know, like the Oilers are doing, it seems like they're doing like pretty well. Like they're still right in it, and they've like Nuge is having a really good season.
Nuge, Hyman, you know who's putting up points as well as Nurse. I enjoyed that goal quite a bit. Plus the falling down celebration was amazing. Fogle's out right now. He only has 5 points, but I think he's been playing better, and I think he's going to continue to get better.
Did he miss? He missed the last game too, right?
Yeah, he's been out for a little while. He's been out for several games now. Yeah,
and he missed the game against Minnesota as well.
Yeah. No, he's been out for like 3 or 4 games.
Jeez.
Yams skated in Hyman's place in practice today, so we might be getting Yams back.
Oh man,
I really like Hyman on that. When they have that top line loaded up, I really like Hyman as the third guy on that line a lot, especially with how well he's playing to start the year.
For sure.
The Hyman zone is a beautiful place.
They're doing pretty well, I think.
Yeah. If they can play 750 with all these guys out for a little bit longer, I still think, though, I honestly think even when we get Kane back and Yam's back and all the other forwards back, I still want to see one more forward, like one acquisition of a forward in like a $4 million. Some or someone in the $4 million range, maybe not quite as much as a Bo Horvat, but like, or maybe we, I mean, you know, who we might try in the top six is the real Clean Costin. Like, that guy is so fucking, he plays so well. Like, I'm so impressed by him. He plays the puck great. You know, he's got a goal, he's gotten on the board.
Yeah.
He kits, he protects the puck. He's like, he's a little bit better than Fogle to my eye. For yeah. sure. And I like that trade because Samarukov was not breaking through for us. And we got a guy who we can actually, like, if Costin ends up on the fourth line at the end of the year after we get everybody, great.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I think they're doing fine too. And like the people that kind of are freaking out, nah, I'm not really listening to it, especially with the fact that we have, it's like we have our top two tier of players right now, Connor and Leon playing like insane levels, just insane points production. You know, Q Love lifts us up where we belong because they're both at the top of the scoring list again. I'm pretty sure these are asset checks. Maybe not after tonight, who knows? But the second tier, our Hyman and Nuge tier right now, and it would also be our Kane tier, they're also, you know, playing really well and having great years. So if we can just kind of bring the fucking bottom six up to par a little bit more, I'm really excited to see these younger guys getting chances to like mix things up. Like, I think a Brad Malone or like some such might be better than a Devin Shore potentially on the fourth line. Like, who knows? Brian McLeod being back on the third line is going to be really, really huge. He's kind of a bellwether in a lot of ways, I think, for the entire bottom six. Because if Ryan McLeod, he put up 3 points the game before he got injured, he's probably still not back for another week or two. So important. Such an important player in spite of his young age.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. How many goals does Nuge have this year? 11
that's,
or something?
That's a good question. Yeah, he scored. 11 sounds right because he matched his total from last year already. So I believe,
like
that was,
Nuge,
I believe that was 11. Yeah.
How many goals do you think Nuge will get this year?
I mean, I don't want to say 30. But he could be in like the upper 20s, I think, pretty reasonably. Like, let's say 28, 27. Yeah.
I think he's going to get 30 goals.
He's going
to
get 30?
I think he's going to get the most goals this year.
Oh, he's never had 30. Yeah. That would definitely be the most.
Yeah. I think he's going to do that this year.
His highest is 28. He had 28 goals in 2018, 2019.
Something tells me.
I mean, that power play is so buzzing. That's another question. People still talk about trading Barry because he's redundant on the team. I just wonder, like, who, it depends on who you're getting back. Because if you're not getting back a defenseman as good or better than Barry in that deal, I don't like that deal. Because, like, I think as soon as we, I mean, it's possible, you know, Bouchard will just slide right on the power play.
Yeah,
and
Bouchard,
miraculously.
Like, I don't know. Bouchard's had.
He's still having ups and downs.
He's playing better than late, but like, I guess they've both got some big goals for us, but also Barry's got some big goals for us. Like, you can't just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no way I trade Tyson Barry.
I'd be happy if, you know, at the end of this deal, if they re-sign him to like $3 million deal and just keep him around. Like, he's a veteran guy.
Yeah.
And if we're paying him like $3 million to be in our third pair and potentially play on the power play, or just to be like a fucking top NHL defenseman for us, like, he's better than so many other defensemen.
You know
is
what,
the
man?
Thing people don't realize?
He's a specialist.
He gets no love.
He's a specialist. And you never trade a specialist. One. Number two, a specialist never becomes redundant. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a specialist at anything, you keep the specialist around.
It's like having a really good demolition guy on the crew.
Well, yeah. You know? It's like having a specialist.
Yeah.
It's like if you're ever in a situation and somebody in your group is like, keep this guy. He's, when it comes to this.
He's a black mage. He can do black magic? Oh, shit. Does he know Fire 3? Yeah, he knows Fire 3.
Yeah. Then immediately it's like, okay, well, let's like kind of funnel everything through this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to work. This guy's a specialist, so we're going to use his special powers to our advantage. And then if another specialist shows up, it's not really like this guy becomes redundant. Mm. You think to yourself, now I have two specialists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I would think anyway. Like, I have two specialists. It's not like you had one guy that was good and then you get another guy that's better. Which
I'm sure there's some people that think that having Barry around is like keeping Bouchard from becoming Eric Karlsson, though. Vintage Eric Karlsson.
I don't see that.
It's possible. Anything's possible, but I don't really see it either. But certainly possible. I don't think so, though.
Yeah.
That's the best I can say.
I mean, you're comparing like Tyson Barry to Brent Burns. And I think like that's a bit of a stretch.
That is definitely a stretch. Yeah. Brent Burns is great.
You're also comparing Eric Karlsson,
Evan
Bouchard.
I would never make those comparisons myself. I'm just saying, for the sake of argument, those people do exist on the Twitter sphere. We've got a couple of questions from Twitter, actually. Let me just throw this one at you. How do you feel about Connor's post-game interviews? He seems more open. He seems more affable to me. Big difference. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen it. I've seen like maybe one of his post-game interviews, and he seemed like the exact same. Is he different now?
Seems like he's opened up a bit. A little more fun.
Really?
A little more wit. Who can really tell? Maybe it's just a pinch of something that's been mixed into leaven things.
Interesting.
How about World Cup watching for hockey fans? Are you disappointed? I mean, I didn't really watch any football. I don't really follow it. So this is a good one for you, though, right?
Like,
The Canada's out.
Oh, it was amazing. Well, the thing about Canada being in the World Cup, I'm not a huge soccer fan by any means, but it was amazing feeling like you actually had a dog in the fight. Like, I've never experienced that before. So those two soccer games were probably the best games I ever watched in my life, because I was very involved. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, the people of Belgium and Morocco, or who is it? Belgium and Croatia, the first two games, are having to like deal with the same thing that I'm dealing with right now. And they're like having to deal with Canada. And it was just so like crazy to think about that. So it was amazing that they were in the World Cup. And it's like experience, right? Like, it's like baby steps, it's a process. And now Canada has like a World Cup goal, they have something to like build on. 4 years from now, it's pretty cool. I thought it was pretty great, but like, that's pretty much all I've watched. I might watch Brazil versus Korea tomorrow, actually. That's intriguing to me. I think Pele is dying as well. So I kind of want Brazil to like go on this crazy,
Like commemorative
that storyline. But yeah, that's about it. Have you watched any of it? Are you interested at all?
Not into it. No, not really. I'm one of those. I mean, hockey is my one true love. Hockey and the sea. Once they start playing hockey on the ocean, I'm really going to get the best of both worlds. It'll be great.
You really have to put yourself into the shoes of the average Belgian watching the game. Like, when you watch anything, right?
I'll think of Jean-Philippe.
When you watch sports, you really have to put yourself in the shoes of the fans watching that game. Like, if you watch, like, the Thanksgiving NFL game, it's like New York versus Dallas, right? So you really have to put yourselves in the shoes of a New Yorker at home with their family, or someone from the East Coast, the Northern United States, at home with their family, watching a game versus Texas. And you really have to understand how that family would probably be like, it's very important that we beat these motherfuckers.
You know, I have watched a soccer game with a real soccer fan, and they were really into it, and it was very easy to get into it. That's true. Yeah. You kind of just need to, like, as long as you can kind of jump on board.
Well, you just have to really, you have to go into it with a little bit of context and, like, understand why it's important that this team wins or this team loses. Like, in Texas, I'm sure beating the New York Giants was a very big deal. And you have to think that, like, if they didn't, a lot of people's Thanksgivings would be, like, get ugly, probably. Like, it becomes very
personal. Oh, man. Everything would be very tenuous. It would be like
Of course. But if they won, it would be, like, the greatest Thanksgiving ever. And then there's, like, ramifications, like a ripple effect, right? Yeah. Like, if Texas football always wins, does the world become a better place, or is it better if Texas football always loses? You know what I mean? Sports is weird like that. And the World Cup is kind of the best of those things, because it's on a global scale, right? So
The ripples are like huge ripples. So I like that idea of it. Like if Brazil plays, you know, Brazil and Korea are playing soccer, all the people in Korea are going to be watching that game.
Plus,
all
like the people, yeah, and the low scoring nature is like really good for like upsets and like teams like staying in it longer than they might normally be expected
to.
You know,
for sure.
Yeah. I wonder.
Global sports. Yeah.
Well, you know what that sound is, though.
Yeah,
that sound means
wind down procedure.
I mean,
we should definitely wind it. Wind it down.
I think the shuttle bay doors are opening. That's all I'm saying. It's gonna pull all the skin off of our endoskeleton.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be sucked into the vacuum of space. Yeah. I did want to ask you one last question by way of closing off point. Do you feel like a lot of players in the NHL, because the Oilers are so good, in particular Leon and Draisaitl, but just also in general,
yeah,
do you think they just play dirtier against them just out of pure resentment and frustration and rage?
Yeah. Of course.
And do you think we're seeing even more of that this year than normal, perhaps?
That's a really good question, Matt. I don't think we're necessarily seeing more of it, but I mean, for sure that happens. Of course it would. Can you imagine if you were in that situation?
Totally.
Like if you're in that situation and the team you're playing against has two superstars on it and they're the Edmonton Oilers or like some sort of like equivalent, with like the characteristics and history of the Edmonton Oilers, sort of like the status imagined or real of the Edmonton Oilers. Like if things start going south, I imagine like very quickly, you would start feeling like disrespectful almost. And that disrespect would manifest itself in like really ugly ways because hockey is a violent game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
and you'd lash out.
You would lash out. And in hockey, you really can lash out with like a hockey stick or your fists.
They need to have like an equivalent to like a restraining order. They'll be like, look, dude, we've seen you like chop the hands like six times now. Just like, you have to stay away from chopping the hands for like 30 days or.
I mean, that's the beauty of hockey, right? Is there's this laundry list of penalties, of things that like, it's kind of like, look, we know you're going to do this, okay? But if you do this, if you choose to attack another man's wrists with your hockey stick, like there's a penalty for that. You can come back and play. You won't get kicked out. It's completely allowed. It's within the rules of the game exist to sort of cover you for doing this, right? But there will be a penalty. So hockey's strange like that. So of course, yeah. Of course, if you're playing someone who's better than you and you don't have the talent yourself to like match it and you're playing hockey with them and you have a hockey stick, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to put it together, I don't think. Like what's going to happen, right?
I couldn't agree
more. That's crazy though.
Oh,
but
man.
But I think in the Oilers' case, the Connor and Draisaitl are such superstars that it doesn't really, like the team doesn't feel as though it's a problem. They necessarily have to change the way they're playing the game to deal with. You know what I mean? Like it never blows up just because like it doesn't really
they're kind of above
get
it
to
almost?
That degree. Yeah, sort of they're above it. Yeah. And also I think it makes the perpetrators, because like what they go to the box,
they go right? Even crazier a little bit.
They go to the box and then what happens? Like the whole nature of this beast is you take a penalty against the Edmonton Oilers. Like you're unleashing. It's like crazy what happens when the Oilers have a power play, right? Like it's gotta be the worst feeling when you go out on the penalty kill, because I imagine you go out with like a modicum of confidence. And then within seconds, it's just like, like, I don't know what to do. Like there's shots coming like nonstop.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's just such pressure.
They should be like the they should be sending so like workplace. They need to send like workplace safety officers to like the NHL to be like, is everyone doing okay? Like putting up with this amount of stress? Cause like this amount of stress on your mind, like, is it affecting your personal life, your romantic relationships? Are you able to sleep? And then all of a sudden, like Edmondson will just be like, I wake up and it's just Draisaitl's just in his office. Is it, what's he doing in there? He's counting the pens. Why does he like being in his office, by the way? I think my theory is he has his monitor set up just perfectly. That's why no matter when whenever there's like an in-person, he always teleconferences in. He never comes to like the bullshit in person.
If you have a nice office, you never want to leave it. If you're in that rare position in life, where either you have a nice office at a well-paying job, or you're just like a piece of shit in an office that no one like cares to check on ever and see what you're up to. But if you're in a position where you can like design an office to your own specifications, I mean, you've got the bull by the horns. The world is your oyster, because you can set it up so like you never want to leave. I think that's what Drysdale obviously has one of the greatest offices of all time. You know what I mean?
And Connor's making like the whole ICE's office these days too, with like the amount of determination he's doing scoring this year. It's like we got two guys who are in like office magazine, like Office Space magazine, yes. The Architectural Digest for office spaces. It's like, oh, and this is where he's got his foot massager and his putting green.
Yeah.
Look at all this lavish marble, intricate, you know, handiwork.
Yeah, big windows.
It pays to be the boss. Actually, speaking of that, our intro today was James Brown with The Boss. And you can stick around, High Priest, for the outro if you want. It's a nice little track we're going to listen to called We Sai Why by Hirasawa Susumu. This is from a hard-to-find album. That album's called The Man Climbing the Hologram. That is apparently considered a bit of a rarity in his catalog. So that's always exciting. Any final words? Any commentary on the looming rail strike?
The looming rail strike?
Just did a joke. No, it's kind of been averted. No, they like voted the rail workers back to work. It's like the rail workers haven't had like a fair deal since like the 20s. They just keep on voting them back to work. They're like, screw you. They didn't give them one extra. They don't have like sick days. They were just asking for 7 sick days a year, and they said, no, you don't get sick working on the rails. Workers. You know what I did in response?
What?
I watched that movie Unstoppable, which I'd never seen for the first time. Oh, Tony Scott directed. It's a decent movie. I liked it quite a bit.
Who's actually in that again? Who's in Unstoppable?
Denzel Washington, Rosario Dawson, and Chris Pine.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good movie. It's like basically like one of the last, like when they dig up Hollywood in 1,000 years, they'd be like, oh, these one of the last big budget movies they made that wasn't a superhero movie. They actually like gave them a budget. And it's like, if we can just fill out the run length with like 10 to 15 minutes worth of people cheering, looking at a news screen, then we'll give you enough money to like have some drains, do some crazy shit.
Damn. Good recommendation.
That's a good movie. Yeah, I liked it.
Check that out.
It's a fun little Tony Scott picture. All right, we'll let Hirasawa take over here. Thank you so much for talking, brother. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Always a pleasure. And we'll catch you real, real soon. Why?